Recently acquitted Nigerian televangelist Timothy Omotso has been pulled back to the courts for immigration-related charges. The televangelist made headlines following his acquittal on sexual abuse charges, but has seemingly still received support from some groups, while others like Speak Out South Africa denounce him. Online from Speak Out South Africa Coalition is the coordinator Daniela Jenrich. Daniela, welcome to Newsbeat.
Thank you so much, Shafiq, and greetings to your listeners.
Of course, there are huge questions being asked as to how on earth Omotso got acquitted in court, and I know that there have been several repercussions on that count. But yet he is seemingly unrepentant, and we see now that he's been dragged back into the courts on an immigration-related charge. So how do we work our way through this maze?
Well, I think it's well known that the judge in her judgment made it clear that she was not convinced by the defense's argument, but she had no choice but to pronounce him not guilty. And with, I think it was over 30 charges against him, with multiple witnesses, you know, the idea that has been kind of put forward by people like COSA, you know, the political party called Christians of South Africa, who claim that it's all part of a conspiracy against him and somehow also against God. It would seem a very elaborate conspiracy. But I think there is a sense in which that with the NPA's failure and the prosecution's failure, there were other charges that were already drifting around against him. And so I think there's been extra motivation to actually continue to pursue the man. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does. I mean, the NPA stroke prosecution dropped the ball. I think we can say that fairly safely. One is just a bit amazed that they couldn't pull this one off. Do you think that these immigration-related charges are now going to stick because Omotso seems to have a measure of Teflon on him as well?
You know, you never know. With a person like that, Omotso has been around for a long time. I understand he's highly charismatic, highly influential. Also would stop at nothing in terms of greasing paws here and there. So we don't know. But, the other challenge, of course, is that if he is removed from South African society, which many of us feel would protect any future victims, would it be possible then to bring him back if the NPA succeeds to open up a fresh case? So it's a little bit of an ambiguous situation. While, it was great, in fact, that for nearly 8 years he was removed from society, at least that much. But now the idea of removing him, deporting him, will that mean he escapes justice? Will that mean that wherever he goes from here, there could be another trail of charges against him? One really isn't sure.
It almost seems as if these latest charges are something of a holding maneuver or a holding pattern to keep him here long enough, perhaps, to revisit the previously failed charges against him. Because I have heard that the NPA will try and reinstitute the case against him.
Yes. Yeah, we don't know. And I suppose conjecturing about all of that, it isn't necessarily going to help. What I think is important is, the lessons we can draw from it. And what's important is how we can actually work together as, because we're an interfaith collective, how we can also work collectively as the faith sector and as society in general to ensure that, and he's not the only faith leader who has these kinds of records and cases against him. How do we protect South African society from such charlatans, I think is an important question that we also need to address.
No, I would most certainly agree with that. I know that government has been trying to institute measures to put a check on these people, but then every single time the state tries to do that, there's an overwhelming noise of resistance against these measures, and then people start talking about dictatorships and anti-constitutional behavior and so on and so on.
Religious freedom. Yeah. You know, it may be interesting, and I've been thinking a lot during this period to think about also, I mean, the amount of support this person has and the people outside the court even yesterday, you know, that were had all those, you know, reasons that they gave for continuing to support him. And there's an interesting psychology within the religious sector. Maybe it's not just a psychology, you know, a combination of factors that makes it really, really hard, number one, for people to speak out, and number two, for them easily to be victimized, as has been the case with Cheryl Zondi and others. And it seems like it's a, you know, somebody who's really, really charismatic and that they do seem to also meet people's needs, particularly people who are vulnerable and are dreaming of a better future and so on. And they somehow have the power, often misusing sacred texts as well, to turn narratives inside out and actually start blaming the victim or somebody else. They often need a common enemy, as we've seen, you know, in terms of the Zionist mobilizing against innocent civilians, you know, defining a mysterious, mythical, you know, common enemy, the so-called terrorists or the MAGA, you know, the rebuild America and, you know, anybody progressive is the enemy and so on. And we get that in religion as well. And the very strong us and them kind of pull that can take place. And the need, you know, they draw on things like people's vulnerability, people's need to belong, people's insecurity and looking for a leader that will show them the way. And they relinquish then their own sense of responsibility or direction. And of course, when it comes to a religion, often, you know, I mean, because they have this this trump card, sorry for the pun, using the name of God. And, you know, if God is angry with you, and that's often, you know, a very charismatic leader will almost have the same devotion as God or Jesus or a powerful prophet. And then if you disobey God, however you define this God, then the Almighty will punish you and your religious body will banish you, so you have no place to belong. And then you get branded an evil person, and then God will reject you and you'll, you know, end up in eternal hell. So if you think about that, you know, and we sort of wonder, how are people not seeing what's happening? But it's almost that people, in a way, in their fervor to believe, you know, in something and, you know, sort of relinquish their power to their church or their mosque or whoever it might be, to then, you know, they are patty in the hands of those people who then can turn the whole narrative around. And, you know, what we've seen also often, you know, needing a common enemy, the way people like the COSA, you know, the Christians of South Africa, that small political party, is the you know, the common enemy is government, as it is with many conservative Christians. And the common enemy is also the women who have spoken out, and they become vilified. And then it also sends the message, don't you dare speak up, regardless of whatever has happened to you, because you're going to end up like the Cheryl Zondis and other women who have dared to speak out. So it's quite a complex situation, and perhaps one that together as different faiths, we need to also work together, also with the CRL, to demystify some of this so that people understand what is actually happening and the manipulations that do take place.
I mean, it's very important, and it's pertinent that you've mentioned that there are a number of so-called charismatic faith leaders of different faiths across the country who use methodology. It seems like it's a mixture of a fear of victimization and something of this old-fashioned Stockholm syndrome, where the victim or the captive identifies with their captor as opposed to an outside justice.
Exactly, exactly. And it's a combination also, because now one has been defined by that heroic person or power in a particular way, that if you pull away, the level of guilt and shame, and especially if you use the name of God in that, becomes unbearable.
It certainly does. It's a pressing question, and televangelist Timothy Omotso, let's hope he does finally face the justice that he deserves. Of
Absolutely.
Course, the prosecutorial authorities, I think, failing there. But Daniela Genrich, Speak Out Africa Coalition Coordinator, thanks for joining us on Newsbeat.